And take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. And be reading verses 8 through 23. 2 Kings 6. Starting in verse 8. This is the word of God. Now the king of Aram was warring against Israel, and he counseled with his servant, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down there." The king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, so he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Now the heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you tell me which of us is for the king of Israel?" Now one of his servants said, "No, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and take him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." He sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the attendant of the man of God had arisen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And the servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people with blindness, I pray." So he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Then Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he brought them to Samaria. When they had come into Samaria, Elisha said, "O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Then the king of Israel, when he saw them, said to Elisha, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" He answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. And the marauding bands of Arameans did not come again into the land of Israel. And that is the word of the Lord to us. And we learn here that the Lord surrounds his people not only in this time that this happened, but always and forever. That's our lesson from this scripture. Verses 8 through 13, we find the Lord protecting Israel. And how did Israel know where the Arameans were going to be? Each move as they were moving around, trying to defeat the Israelites. It was because the Lord was speaking to the king of Israel through the prophet Elisha, verse 9. And the king of Aram thinks there is a traitor in his midst amongst one of his servants, and yet there wasn't. The servants even know what has happened. Elisha the prophet is speaking to the king of Israel. And the king is asking, "Well, where is he? Let's go and take care of him. Let's put him to death so we can go and conquer Israel." Well, that's not possible. Yahweh is protecting his people. And certainly it is an unusual way that Yahweh did protect his people, and yet history, even up to our current day, is filled with accounts of Yahweh protecting his people in unusual ways. And that's what we see before us here. He protects them in unusual ways, like using the prophet Elisha, knowing where the Arameans are going to be. And then the following verses, 14 to 17, we find out that they found where Elisha was. They're outside his home. They're outside that city. And a whole army, chariots, horses surrounding him. And the servant goes out. And so we had this wonderful account when the servant comes in and asks, what are we to do? We have a wonderful true statement that we should kind of, one of these verses we should memorize and cling to ourselves, of Elisha's response to his servant coming back in and telling him about the great army. He says, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And upon prayer, we see what the servant saw that day, the spiritual reality of the mountain covered with horses and chariots of fire surrounding and protecting Elisha and the servant, even though physical eyes you could not see them. On this very day, there's a great multitude that surrounds you, the legions of angels that God has given to protect you. Nothing can harm you that He is not determined to come about. And the fire symbolizing the presence of Yahweh, just as it did with the burning bush in Exodus. And that is the protection of Yahweh, which is unseen. We look out in the world today, there is much of protection that the Lord is using or having upon us that is unseen. And so it is here. So we have unusual protection, we have unseen protection, and finally we have unexpected protection. And the last verse is, upon prayer, just as Elijah prayed before, he asked the Lord to strike them with the same blindness that Yahweh struck the Sodomites outside of Lot's house with. And he does so. And upon Elisha's third prayer, he leads the people 10 miles down the road to Samaria, where the Lord opens their eyes when he's before the Israelites and the king. The king of Israel is ready to destroy them. As they have been brought to him, surely he did not expect to have a feast, though. And that's what happened. Israel then feasted with the enemy at Yahweh's command. Yahweh said, do not kill, but feast with them. And so Yahweh not only protected Elisha and Israel by disabling the Arameans and protecting here now the Arameans by restraining Israel's king. So what is the meaning of all that? Not only Israel, but unwashed Gentiles can have Yahweh as their protector. Even undeserving Arameans can have Yahweh as their protector. If only they would have the eyes to see it. Do you have eyes to see Him, the Lord Yahweh, the protector of His people? If you have eyes to see Him, then you are called to believe. The shelter of the Lord, the protection of the Lord, the mighty fortress of the Lord is open to all who believe. And so you are being called to believe in Him. And you will receive this unusual, unseen, unexpected protection of the Lord at all times. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for these odd ways, we might say, of Your protecting us. Often we would assume that to be protected we need to have a great army, physical men, standing around us. Maybe a great fortress built of stone to protect us. And yet, You are the Lord God Almighty, who is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. You need no such things. Elisha needed no such thing as a physical army, and yet You have protected us through unusual means, unexpected ways, and unseen ways. So Father, cause us to have faith to see what is reality. Cause us to be realists. That is, realists according to the Word, which demands of us faith to believe what You have promised. For each of Your people here this day, there is more with us than there is with any enemy that we might have, no matter how great they might seem. For You have created our enemies. You created us and all the angels. Certainly You can use each as you desire. And so we ask that you would do so. And you would work your great wonders and cause us to stand in awe of your great and mighty works, especially those works which we see in the Holy Scriptures, which we hear testified about often. Lord, there is in our day a great, seems like at least to us, a rising up of a continually growing opposition to you and your word and your name and your church. So protect us. Cause us to be bold with the word and trust not like the servant of Elisha, but like Elisha, who did not fear, but trusted in your promises and your word. And cause us to know that if we are heirs, if we believe and we are Christians, then we will suffer, we will be persecuted in this life. Strengthen us for the task, that we might be able to say with Paul, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Father, we do praise you for this evening and the great privilege we have of worshiping you morning and evening on the Lord's Day. We thank you that you are a God who has seen fit to cause us to rest from our work and our labors and rest in you. And that we don't need to be slaves to work every day of every week like the Israelites in Egypt as they were slaves. And yet a great blessing you gave them, and a great blessing you give to us, one day in seven to rest. And so as we worship you this day, be glorified and cause your word to dwell in our hearts. Exalt your Son, for we pray in his name. Amen.